Hi, welcome to the Dr. Dreama Show, inspiration and practical strategy for achieving your dream life. I'm your host, Dr. Dreama. I'm a psychologist and life designer. I'm here to help you design the life you want and deserve. There has been so much going on in the world recently. Politics, natural disasters, you've been in harm's way, or maybe a loved one has been in harm's way. Life happens, and it's not always easy. So today, I want to talk to you about how to create resilience. You're never too old to create resilience for yourself. We talk a lot about promoting resilience in kids, because, you know, kids are learning how to navigate the world. But as adults, things happen that we don't necessarily always know how to navigate. Life comes at us from all sides sometimes, and it's important for you to figure out where you have control. So, this is Dr. Dreama, and today we are talking about creating resilience. What is resilience? Resilience is a person's ability to bounce back after a traumatic event, after a tragedy, after something unforeseen has happened. So how do we do this? How do we develop and promote within ourselves the idea that we're going to be okay no matter what happens? The very first step, and I'm going to go through five different steps here with you today, and our very first step is you got to believe it. Now, what the heck does that mean? What it means is when we remain in denial about something, we're not really dealing with it. We can't progress through the stages that we need in order to get to that place of, okay, this is actually happening. It's happened. What am I going to do about it? You've probably heard of the seven stages of grief. And when we have a tragedy, a trauma, something happened to us, frequently we move through those same stages. And that first stage is denial, disbelief. This can't be happening. But we have to move through the stages until we get to the point of accepting. Accepting means we empower ourselves. That's what we need to do. And the longer a person stays in denial, the less time they're giving themselves to actually deal with an issue. So face your difficulties as soon as possible and accept the reality. This helps you. This helps you move through these stages faster. Because if you know that something in your life isn't working, you can do something to fix it. Number two is, and this one sounds a little bit out there, you need to manage your emotions. Let's face it, big things happen. We have big emotions. The problem is, if we stick with that big emotional feeling, chances are you're going to be making decisions from that big emotional feeling, and those decisions are probably going to be bad choices. Let's say your partner has said they want a divorce. Your spouse has said, I want a divorce. I'm done. I don't want to work on this anymore. And you had been thinking that things were going okay. So you're very hurt and you're very angry. Maybe you even find out he or she's been having an affair and you want revenge. That's acting out of a really emotional place. So how do you learn to manage your emotions? All right, this sounds really obvious, but I'm going to say it anyhow. Use your head. Think. Get to a place of thinking about what's going on. You have to get intellectual here and move away from that emotional center. Now, I respect people's emotional centers. It's work that I love. Working with people around their emotions, but we have to have control of our emotions. And when we start feeling out of control, that's when we sometimes act impulsively, do things we later regret, or just keep ourselves in a stressed out, panicked, anxious state. We don't want that. So what you need to do here, the first thing, when you notice that you are getting very emotional, is you need to back away. And I want you to take a couple of slow, deep breaths. and just slow your breathing rate down. Now, the reason this is so important is when we get really stressed out, when we're really anxious, when we're feeling kind of panicky, like we're being consumed by our emotions, our heart rate starts going faster and faster. Our breathing gets more and more shallow. When we do that, guess what's happening? You're not getting oxygen. You're not making your best decision. So slow your breathing down. And the beauty of this is when we slow our breathing down, we slow our heart rate down because our lungs and our heart work in tandem. And you can't just slow your heart rate down, but you can slow down your rate of breathing. Taking those long sleep, slow, deep breaths gets more oxygen into your head. And you're able to calm down. And once you're calmer, you can think about things more clearly. And when you do that, you're going to make better decisions for yourself. 3, maybe you need to quit. Yeah, I am suggesting that you be a quitter. Now, what does this mean? You've probably heard, quit while you're ahead. What does that mean? Look at the areas in your life that are causing you the most stress or distress and see, are there areas here where maybe it's okay for you to quit? Now, here's an extreme example. Maybe you're pushing 40 and your dream has been to be an Olympic swimmer. We have to look at some realities here, right? We're no longer in our prime in the same way that we were in our teens and 20s. So maybe your dream here, maybe you need to leave this particular dream behind, which doesn't mean you quit swimming, but it may mean that you quit setting yourself up for something that's not going to happen. Maybe you've been in a relationship. Maybe you're in a relationship right now where you feel like you are doing everything you can and it's not changing. It's not working. Maybe this person isn't respecting your boundaries. Maybe they don't understand what your needs are. Maybe they don't care. Now, relationships are hard to quit. I get that. We have history. We love this person, or at least we did at one time. So quitting a relationship is a big decision. And it is one, it's rooted in emotion, but you also here too have to use your head. What is best for me? Are there kids to consider? Who knows what it is, but you need to go through and figure out for yourself, when is it time to quit? Sometimes it's time to quit a job. Maybe you hate this job and you get up and go every day because it's a paycheck and you need to pay your bills. But if that's how you're spending your life, how are you going to feel in 10 years when you've spent 10 more years at a job you hate? So quitting should be considered an option. Obviously, you can't just up and quit. People who up and quit are responding from that emotional base. When you want to create resilience, you understand that quitting is actually showing your own self strength. You're showing courage. You're showing yourself, I know I'll be okay. When we quit something that no longer serves us, we're showing emotional intelligence because we weigh the pros and the cons and we see, this isn't going to work for me. I remember years ago standing at the library realizing the library wasn't open on Sundays the way that my husband had been telling me, and that's where he had been every Sunday for the last few months. And here I am standing looking at the schedule and I see the library is never open on Sunday. And in that moment, I had a choice. I could stay in my own denial, and I could accept that I was never going to be treated in my marriage the way I wanted to be, but I still could have stayed. That's a choice I could have made. But in that moment, I knew for myself that I did not want my kids to think that was an okay model for a relationship. I had been in therapy. We had been in couples counseling. We had done the things that you're supposed to do. The problem is when one party is one foot in the door and one foot out the door and maintaining a separate life, you can't really work on that. And so in that moment, I knew the best choice for me was to quit. I knew it was going to be hard being a single mom, but I knew I wanted more for me and I wanted more for my kids. How else do you prepare? Well, that's it. You prepare to create more resilience by preparing. Now, here's something that I don't like to actually talk about very much, but people who worry more tend to live longer because they're always anticipating what could go wrong and what can they do about it. That's a hard way to live if that's the way you're thinking all of the time. But when it comes to preparations, we do need to stop and consider sometimes, what if? What could happen? What now? When we make preparations for those things, which is why we have savings, it's why we have insurance. But here's the deal. Even if it's too late this time, you can learn from this time. You can take whatever lessons are there, no matter how hard the lessons are, and do something about it. The reality is that after a natural disaster, people do better when they have work to do. If you have too much time to sit around and think, your mind is going to replay the tragedy, the traumatic events, your distress over and over again. That's not beneficial. It is beneficial to talk about those things with somebody that you trust, such as a friend or a therapist, a mentor, but it's not good to just keep replaying it. And so finding work to do, cleaning out your garage, setting goals for yourself that are physical, whether it's cleaning the bathroom, going over and helping your neighbor rearrange their shelves, those things matter. Otherwise, here's where our emotions come back in. They're going to take over. And when that happens, in the wake of tragedy or trauma, people become depressed. When they become depressed, they tend to isolate. And you can see where this becomes a dead end. So in these situations, find work to do. Keep yourself busy. The best thing that you can do to help yourself build resilience is twofold. It's about help. Give help and get help. Don't be afraid to ask for help. And don't be afraid to offer help. When we give help, we increase the feeling of meaning in our own lives. We also help others. When we ask for help, we're giving the benefit of someone else giving meaning for us too. Getting connected means building resilience because we're vulnerable together, we show courage together, and we're stronger together. So as you're doing these things, as you're thinking about building your resilience and wanting to really build in that sense of I will be okay, ingrained psychologically, remember that connection is the strongest thing that you can do for yourself. So let me repeat these steps over again, because I think they're so important. One is just look at your situation and accept it. Believe that it really did happen and believe it will get better. Two, manage your emotions. Don't let your emotions rule you. Use your head. Look at your situation and assess. Do I need to quit? In the wake of a natural disaster, a lot of times people do move away. They decide that it's too stressful to stay in a place where the same thing could happen again. Can you quit that situation? Absolutely. If the staying causes you more stress than the joy of being someplace, it's absolutely time to quit. Prepare as much as you can. It's like having a first aid kit in your car, right? It's like having a flare in your car and a spare tire. It's having insurance. It's having savings. Prepare in case. And lastly, get help and give help. Those two things help us feel connected. And when we know we're not alone, we feel stronger. This is Dr. Dreema, and I invite you to look up my Facebook group, Real Life Forum. The Real Life Forum, it's a Facebook group, and there we just talk about life and what's going on in life. And come join us. We have some good stuff going on. This is Dr. Dreema.